Hi FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
We cross to Israel for our first Israel report. Avi Ebola, he's the voice and of the Pulse of Israel broadcast program. Moed Tov, how are you?
Hagim Uzmanim Lestaston, thank God, doing well, enjoying the Chag together with the rest of the Jewish people here in Israel, even in our reality.
Well, the reality is, well, I don't know what reality is anymore, to be honest, because when you see what is out there and you see university students in America, which is not the subject I want to chat to you about, chanting for, I don't know, oppression, because that's what they seem to want. You see and this is what I want to talk to you about, a video that Hamas took of the hostages, but then you see people protesting as though what he's saying is not under duress and it's Netanyahu's fault, and I'm not a Netanyahu fan, but this is, I feel like we're losing our grip.
Well, the people who are out protesting in response to that video have lost all grip on reality, but people must understand that they are a tiny, tiny, tiny minority of Israeli society, and they, though they don't understand or won't admit to this, they are serving the interests of Hamas
It's so obvious. This is what I don't understand. Hamas releases a video which they have constructed, where they have blown off somebody's arm. They are holding him hostage, and he says to Israel, "Do bring us home. Like, what is wrong with you? Bring us." But Hamas is holding them, and everybody forgets that reality. Or not everybody. A group doesn't see that.
It's not that a group doesn't see it. The more one follows this group, the more one understands that their interests are one. It's not about bringing the captives home. If they would have been interested in bringing the captives home, they would be out protesting in front of the United Nations, in front of UNRWA. They'd be going from capital to capital around the world, screaming to pressure Iran and Qatar in order to release the hostages. This tiny little group has one interest, and that is to topple the government, hijacking the captive issue, because they won't even admit it. But by them assisting Hamas in doing these protests, they raised the price. Like, Hamas, the majority of people in Israel, the majority of Jews know, and even the United States Biden administration, that has been very unhelpful, finally has admitted publicly that Hamas is the one who keeps on saying no. So it's totally irrefutable that the Israeli government, the Netanyahu government, the one they're protesting to topple, has gone way beyond all rational thoughts of capitulation to Hamas's demands, and yet Hamas still says no. And why should Hamas say yes? Because they know they have this tiny, rowdy bunch of protesters who serve their interests, that the Israeli media serves their interests by pumping them out as being a voice of a majority of Israeli people in Israel, which they are not. And it gives Hamas every reason not to release the hostages, because anyone knows in negotiations 101, and definitely negotiations 103 of the Middle East, is you do everything possible to not have the other side raise its price. And the more you have them raise the price, the more they withhold releasing the captives and toppling the government. If they really had any sense of rational thought, they would know, would push off any and all negotiations to release hostages for months on end, also making it even harder to free the hostages. So you're talking about a tiny, tiny minority of Israeli society whose sole interest is to topple the government at all costs, even by hijacking the issue of the captives in a very cynical and destructive way that makes it even harder for us to free them, even though they can say to their own souls that they're the ones in the right calling for the freeing of the captives. That's the prism people have to see this protest movement within. It's not about freeing the captives. It's about toppling the government at any price. And again, the chief priest of this movement, believe it or not, and anyone, all one has to do is follow beyond the headlines in Israel. Not the headline, follow beyond the headlines. The chief priest of this tiny movement is former Israeli Prime Minister Ehud Barak, who constantly is been recorded on Zoom calls basically saying how they must topple the government as soon as possible in order that a different government comes to power that will then easily work with the Biden administration to force the two-state solution on Israel. He's the chief priest of this movement, and they're following his commands. He is in a recorded session a few months ago saying we have to up the game of the protest movement. We have to storm the Knesset. We have to have thousands protesting and causing havoc in order to topple the government. So that's the tiny minority that is listening to Ehud Barak and his minions to, again, by hijacking the very, very sensitive and important captive issue, because we all want to free the captives, but yet using it as a political tool and actually making it worse in trying to free the captives. But you're right. They're not thinking people who actually care about the captives. They think they care about the captives, but their true purpose is to topple the government, and that's it.
It's absolutely remarkable. The other discussion, of course, that continues is Rafah. And it's just enough already. I don't know why I've woken up so irritable today, but it's enough. Israel needs to move into Rafah and do what it needs to do. Hamas, with its press releases and inciting violence around the world, is taking all the time it needs to, with the aid of Iran, no doubt, is furthering the goals of jihadists. And all the while, Israel is debating whether it should go into Rafah or not. It's enough. They need to destroy Hamas. This is doing, I think, tremendous damage.
So I don't know if this news hit you in South Africa, but it hit us here in Israel. Senior journalist who was very, very reliable, Amit Segal from the Channel 12 program, he basically exposed how the Biden administration is behind an initiative for the international court to prosecute Netanyahu and Israeli ministers at The Hague. Now you understand the pressures upon, and again, in yesterday's news in Israel, is that the Israeli government is now putting together the legal documentation in trying to deal with that situation if those prosecutions do come out of The Hague. So now people can understand a little bit of the pressure that Prime Minister Netanyahu has been working under, that while, yes, we have to be thankful for the Biden administration for the arms and the finance and the military aid towards purchasing more arms in America that we need in order to fight, on the one hand, yet on the second hand, they are acting as a supporter for our enemy in stopping us from doing what we need to do. The only way we stopped Rafah, the only way we're giving so much humanitarian aid to an enemy that does not deserve any aid, because that stops us from being able to actually beat them, is because of tremendous pressure and threats from the Biden administration in all sorts of ways, including withholding weapons, including withholding veto at the United Nations. And now again, we see, including actually supporting the prosecution of Israel at The Hague for defending ourselves. So hence the diplomatic tightrope that Prime Minister Netanyahu has been walking in terms of trying to defend ourselves as best as possible and free our captives as quickly as possible has been tremendously hard because of this very real pressure that's behind the scenes and beyond the headlines. And that's the true story of what we're going through. That in a sense, it's a miracle we're still at war. And with everyone's critique of Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, whether up until the war or including the war, I really believe we have no other realistic option as Prime Minister who would have been able to fight this war properly while while also dealing with the tremendous pressure from the world that would have been stopping us regardless of who was in charge of the country at the time. So for that, I personally, and I try to help explain people to better understand this, of how blessed we are that he is the one who was leading the country at this time, because most people just reading the regular headlines have no clue about the deep, deep situation we are in with international pressure trying to stop us from fighting this very just and necessary war to not just defend ourselves now and return our captives, but to defend all 8 million Israeli citizens moving forward.
And that is where we leave it. Thank you for that, Avi Abelow, voice of the Pulse of Israel broadcast program, chatting to us from Israel this morning.